Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk about everything video games with your host, Dan Giofue and Rage Quit Pat.
What is going on? Welcome to episode 58 of In Our Mom's Basement Podcast here. And of course, if you are live with us on Twitch, this is hour two of our podcast. And I am Rage Quit Pat, and I am joined by Dan the Pizza Man and Argonaut Rises. And of course, you can listen to this episode on all of podcast platforms, iTunes, Google, all that type of fun stuff. What's going on, guys?
What's going on? How are you, Nintendo? Oh, sorry, PlayStation, right?
Yeah, so our first hour, if you were with us live on Twitch, was Xbox. And of course, episode 57 was Xbox. So now we are going to highlight the PlayStation 4 of this eighth generation. And what a big rebound for Sony it was for PlayStation 4. Of course, if we look back at the launch of PlayStation 3, which was a big, 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 big disaster, Sony came out guns blazing with the PlayStation 5. So if you've listened to our Xbox episode, we talked about the BS with the have to log online, can't have used games.
My internet just turned off. One second. Oh. I don't know what happened. Twitch just turned off completely.
Technical difficulties.
Steph, we're still live.
Yeah, I'm having it right now.
Are we still live? Because Twitch just turned off on me completely.
Interesting.
It like buffered for me, but I refreshed it and we're back.
Yeah, we're back to green again. Okay, it got turned completely red and stuff. All right, we're good. We're good now.
Okay, cool. So yeah, as I you listened in the previous episode, we talked about Xbox with their issues at launch with can't play used games and you had to log on every day pretty much. PlayStation counterpunched and said use games. Don't have to log on all the time. And, well, they pretty much won the launch. And also, they were priced at a reasonable $399. And Argonaut, you mentioned before in the previous episode that it was a more powerful console for a cheaper price as well.
It was.
And the iconic trade. Remember, like, oh, you want to borrow my game? Here's the game. Do you remember that? Like,
yeah,
like Shuhei hand, like, I think it was Adam Berg. I don't remember, but no, he's Xbox. Wow, that's terrible. But yeah, he handles Shuhei, like basically handles the game to the guy, and he's like, oh, this is how we do it. Like, and there were a couple they were dissing the crap out of Xbox throughout the whole launch. Like, it was like this, like. Non-stop, like, you know, attack. And you know what? We can say with 100%, they won this generation hands-on.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're early in the podcast, but yeah, I mean, that's not, there's no denying
we'll
that.
Talk about everything that happened, yeah. what led to it, but that definitely the starter.
PlayStation 4 launched a week before Xbox, November 15th of 2013, but I will give Xbox the edge on the launch titles because these were the stinkers. And I'm not going to say Killzone Shadowfall wasn't a stinker. It's just that Killzone for I kind of fell out of Killzone. But Knack, God knows why that was so heavily pushed, but apparently it was. But Argonaut, what did you – I didn't get it PS4 firstly at launch. I waited a few months and I got it with Infamous Second Son, which I'll touch on in a second. But launch titles, Argonaut, thoughts on those?
So, like at that time, I think I was like into like the Killzone. But like I wasn't like a big fan of it. But like I liked the pretty graphics and everything. So I was like, oh my God, this looks great. But I play a little bit of Knack. Look, Mark Cerny is a great engineer. I'll give him that. Like he engineered the PS4 really good. But not a big fan of Knack, you know? It is his baby. I get it. Totally get it. It's like that game that's okay, the okay platformer. I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, it's amazing. But yeah, I think I definitely played like a lot of like third party games at the time, like whatever was available. I finished Killzone, I remember that. Play a little bit of Knack. I think that was it, man. Honestly.
And it somehow came out with a sequel too. I have no idea. I did not think the sales.
Well, supposedly they improve upon it. Like, but like, it's not like, it's still a joke that like, if you hear, you know, Twitch streamers, podcasts, including ours, of course, that the Knack joke is always there. No matter what, Knack is like the predominant joke.
Was that you, Pat, who put the L1 next to it?
The what?
In the dock.
That was me.
No, that was Barbosa. I mean, knack. I looked at the launch titles for PlayStation. It's the same thing what my series what I'm with Series X is. I'm looking and I'm like, do I really want to buy a PlayStation right now for Knack and Killzone? No. Infamous, before we start getting into the games, you know, I got it when Infamous Second Son came out. But again, let's talk about the strong entrance of PlayStation. You know, lower price point. There was no DRM. It pretty much took advantage of the Xbox debacle. What did you, you know, obviously that was like, you know, right now these consoles are playing chicken. So, you know, before Xbox was like, there's our price point. This is what it comes with. And Sony's like, good. We were waiting for this. And wow. I mean, remember that E3 when he announced it and like the whole crowd just stood up and went completely insane?
Yeah, you know what it is? It's that the Epic thing, right, that we're really talking. We talked about this multiple times, Pat. $399, it is the sweet spot. Like, of course, like, you know, there's $500 systems and everything, but that's for us, the hardcore gamers. But if you're looking at a casual gamer, somebody that plays, you know, 60, 70%, not, you know, a little bit less maybe, they see a $500 system, they're like, I don't need a camera, so why am I going to get the camera? I'm going to get the system that doesn't have a camera. You know, like, there's a variety of things, but PlayStation definitely tackled Xbox with the digs. Oh, man, it was like, I don't know, how many videos they launched, man? Do you remember? It was like 3 or 4, right? Like,
It was a lot. I mean, you know, like I said, I vividly remember that E3 that year, 2013, when that happened, and...
I got a good story, and you remember this. Michael... When he was like, when we were all talking in the chat, and he's like, oh, PlayStation just won this generation.
It wasn't only him. I mean, it was everyone on Twitter was saying the same exact thing. Everybody on Twitter was like, Sony just won this generation. Because, like, how can you, like, have that horrible of a, like, you know, PlayStation was reeling from the PS3. Yeah. PS3 didn't start selling until they came out with the Slim model, and it was at $299. So PlayStation was real, like, it had great games, but Sony was destroyed by that horrible launch, and they just came out of the gate, punched not Xbox only that, in the face.
Yeah, not only that, PlayStation 3, right? That the other fun fact that is that developers had a really tough time developing for that system because of the cell technology.
Yeah,
it had a different architecture altogether.
Yeah, I do remember that too as well. A lot of games ran 10 times better on Xbox 360 than PS3, like games like the Bethesda games ran. Yeah, they ran so much better on 360. But again, besides the first party titles, I mean, I remember a lot of my friends who had a 360 switched to PlayStation because of that.
That happened to me as well.
Because of I remember playing a lot of my friends, we're like, oh, I'm getting PlayStation. It's $399, and why would I, you know, why am I going to pay $500 for an Xbox if it also comes with a fucking Kinect?
Yeah. It definitely changed the landscape, man. I'll tell you that much. And it continued throughout the years. I mean, like, and it's like you said, like, the lineup, the first party lineup was weaker. But, like, they maintained the message. And, like, some games took a while. But when they came out. But it was a slow start, but once it started picking up, man, until, you know, the end of the generation this year, they really, like, hammer it down with, like, in terms of, like, getting really good first-party titles into the system. I'm sure you agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. We're definitely going to talk about the amazing first-party games that Sony came out with later on, but let's definitely talk about PlayStation, PSN. Definitely, I think, a much better improvement compared to PS3. Obviously, I'm sure you guys remember this, that big hack on the PSN when PSN was down for like a month and a half.
Multiple hacks.
And the hacks and all everyone's credit cards and all their information and even addresses were stolen. That was horrible.
Yeah, and then they went paid a membership and then people started complaining, well, we don't want to pay. Well, you want better security, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when, the PSN, it's like, oh, you want to play online requires PSN. And like, yeah, you're right. They're like, oh. But you know what? Look how much the PSN, in my opinion, improved
it definitely
because
improved.
Of that. I mean, the operating system you know, games that ran much better multiplayer wise. I thought PSN, the digital layouts are fantastic. I love the digital layouts and on PlayStation. And it definitely ran smoother. It was a lot easier to invite people to a party on PSN than it was when Xbox first came out. So that was also a plus. And also like the DualShock 4, I think awesome controller. The triggers, probably one of the better triggers on any PlayStation controller, because I think that's always been a problem of mine with Sony controllers is the triggers. But the triggers were fantastic on the DualShock 4. Anyone going to add?
No, I'm waiting. I want to see Dan. You got any comments, brother?
No, I mean, if you're waiting for me to throw some shade on PlayStation, I'm not going to throw shade on them, you know?
No, I'm not asking for shade. I'm just asking for your opinion in general on the system, like, you know, when you owned it and everything.
Okay, well, yeah, I've owned it. You know, give or take, their dashboard has never changed. Their overlay has always been, like, generally the same thing. So they're nice to, it's a simple thing, too. So it's very easy to guide through, and the console was faster. When it released, and it was cheaper, which is nice. I mean, if, you know, granted, if Xbox didn't put no fucking Kinect in it, it could have been the same price. But I never played Killzone or Knack.
I mean, Knack, you didn't miss much. I mean, but I also like the touchpad on the plate. I mean, it worked really well. I really did. I thought it was going to be
like. Some games had some cool integrations and stuff. It was nice.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like.
Maps from it. Like, I'm not going to lie. That's the only feature I like for it, because you press it and you're like, oh, the map pops up and you're just okay.
I thought it was going to be kind of like a boring type feat. Like, oh, cool, a touchpad. Like, obviously, we're not going to talk about the six-axis controller. I mean, that was a fucking flop and a half. But, you know, the touchpad was cool. I like the touchpad. Like Dan said, some games had some cool integrations where you would swipe it and stuff like that. I thought it was cool. It wasn't too overly done, which is probably the reason why I liked it so much.
Yeah, I agree. But again, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the controller, because the controller, from my opinion, is too small. But, I mean, I did like the touchpad, though.
I love the triggers. Like I said, as far as like any PlayStation controller, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, especially PS3, those triggers were horrendous. But the triggers, it felt great. It feels great playing a shooter on PlayStation, because the triggers are finally good. Like, I play Warzone, like, I play Call of Duty, I played plenty of shooters on PlayStation, I'm like, wow, like, this feels great. The triggers are very comfortable, and you feel the triggers when you press them, and it's huge.
Let's talk about the design too, right? Like, it was a way slimmer system than the Xbox. Yep.
I still have the original PlayStation. I got the Arkham edition. I still have it. I love the design. The design was really good. I don't know what the hell happened with PS5, but you know what? This was a really good design.
Only PS5, PS4 Pro too. You know,
way chunkier. Yeah, the stack, the stack. Like, they just like, you know what? Let's just add another.
Burger, man.
Yeah, let's add a double quarter pounder instead of a single burger here.
Yeah,
but the slim is not a bad design either. I actually like the PS4 slim design too.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm surprised that, like, you know, we know PlayStation for a long time. I'm surprised they didn't come out with even slimmer versions, because, you know, that used tend to be the thing that they did. I mean, the PS4 slim, I don't think they can do really nothing with the Pro. They could have cut it off a little bit, you know, shape off one of the patties, you know, and just make it too.
Let's talk about the other system, the other releases here. We had the original PlayStation 4. We had the PlayStation Slim, which surprisingly Sony barely marketed. And you look back at years past, the PlayStation 2 Slim was heavily marketed. The PlayStation 3, of course, was very heavily marketed.
We got the Slim and Super Slim.
Slim, no one really talks too much about at all.
Yeah, I mean, I like the look of the Slim better than I do with the Pro. I just don't like the design of the Pro.
The slim version is just not as powerful, correct? Argonaut,
yeah,
like
it's just not as powerful as the Pro.
It's just a standard PS4. It just would have more memory on it. They doubled the memory to 1 terabyte, which makes sense. And they kind of cut off the top of it and made it like a more flatter design on it, but it's the same exact system.
And it doesn't even look that much slimmer, to be honest. Come on.
Oh, and they took the optical out.
The optical? The auto optical?
Yeah, dude. look, let's be real here, okay? I use Astros. I use the mix amp. They took with the optical. Luckily, the Pro has it, and they're going to do updates for the PS5 and the Series X for it.
Fuck, but, I use my optical.
What?
I love my optical. I need my optical.
No, that's exactly it, right? For all our headset guys that and girls that are out there listening to this, tell me not. They took the opticals out. You're just like getting, your rage is just piling up. You're like, why? Like, it's such a small piece. But so I guess mad. They used it for something else.
And Argonaut, you got the PS4 Pro. As far as like, you know, we talked about the Xbox One X and its power. What did you think of the Pro's power? And of course, the cheeseburger design.
It's it's less powerful than the X. That's definitely one thing. It's not like an excessive difference between them two, but like I own both, and there is a difference. Like, you know, in depth, like the resolution usually tends to be the number one case. You can't get like native 4K in some games. But it was interesting that PlayStation was leading it, right? Like, and then Xbox is like, oh no, we want to have the most powerful console. And they did it. But it's still a good system. I definitely like the mid-tier upgrades, for guys like Dan. There are PC guys that upgrade their PCs every once in a while. I'm sure he agrees with me. I feel like it is a better thing that like within 2-3 years, we get a mid-tier upgrade and you're just like, hey, it's not a new system. But it's something, it's the same system we're boosted.
And you know, these games now are requiring more and more power.
100%,
make it look better, feel better, you know, the smoothness. So, I mean, I agree with the small upgrades and changes, and this next gen is going to be fucking killer.
Yeah. I really liked just overall, just the generation of PlayStation. Again, but here's one that we always talk about. It always seems like a big topic on our podcast. PlayStation Now. Obviously, Game Pass is miles ahead of PlayStation Now. I think PlayStation Now is getting there. You know, they are adding some first-party titles as time goes on. But the big thing was, remember, it was $20 a month. Like, that was first absurd. And now it's $10 a month now, which I think is more respectable. Do you think, what are our thoughts on PlayStation Now? I personally, it was on sale for like $40 for a year. So I'm like, fuck it. $40 for a year, that's not bad. And it's got, you could stream PS3 games on there. There's some really good PS3 first party games and then third party games if you've never played any of the first party PS3 games, if this was your first time getting a PlayStation system. It's also got some good PS4 exclusives on there as well. But, you know, what are our thoughts on PlayStation Now?
You know, it was nice that they kind of give a head start to streaming, right? Like, that's the, you know, we all know that that's like the end game for all these companies, right? They definitely want streaming to become a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. They got the jump start on it, but it was $20 a month at first. Like, that was crazy.
The price was really high and strong, and like, you get me? Like, you it's like you had to be making, you know, be like, hey man, I really want to spend all this money to play all these PS3 games and everything on PlayStation Now. You know, it's cool that they bought Gaikai and like went with it, and it's developing as it goes. But like, the one thing that really got to me was like, you get me? Like, you know, for us here in the East Coast and the West Coast, I'm sure they agree, is that we have good internet. But the question you have to ask yourself is that some parts in the middle of the country can't handle that infrastructure right now, at least depending on the city, to have, you know, these internet based services to run. And that's where Game Pass is a little bit different, right? Game Pass, you can install the games, and it took, I think, PlayStation Now about a year and a half or two later after Game Pass that they finally added the download feature in some games, by the way, not all of them. I still think they need to work on it. I don't think it's nearly done on what it needs to be, but I feel like with, you know, xCloud becoming such predominant, you know, Stadia kind of creeping from the woods, we're going to get definitely a better service, because you know what it is? Competition builds up, right? They're going to be trying to one-up each other. They're going to be like, hey, you know what? This guy's doing that. Maybe we have to do something to, you know, get them out there. It's interesting. I feel like in the next 5-10 years, maybe probably 10 years, we're going to see like a high influx of streaming games. I think whoever gets it right is going to be the winner for the market.
Do you think PlayStation, because they do have a little bit more first party titles, do you think they'll ever go the Game Pass route and have them launch day one?
So here's a counter argument for Game Pass. And this is the small issue with it, right? There's talks about of how, like, you know, Xbox is putting an excessive amount of Game Pass, right? But then what happens with the money that's supposed to be given to the developers to, you know, finance these games, right? Halo Infinite was in development for how long, right? What, 2-3 years at this point? And yeah, we still didn't get a decent looking game. That's the weird part. So some people are like, oh, maybe they're putting way too much money in Game Pass, and then it reduces the, you know, the game, first party games are still going to get released, but it reduced their quality because all the money's getting going there instead. Do you get me? So
yeah,
that's the issue that I feel like if PlayStation has to decide between first party titles being amazing the way they are versus the service, I'm like, man, just stick to the first party titles because that's what sells systems, honestly. Like, I'm sure you agree with me. We had conversations about this over and over again. Is that what is the launch title? You were going to get Series X because of Halo, right? And now you're kind of like going to wait a little bit longer. Same thing with PS4 when it came out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Series X, as I stated before, I'm going to wait a little bit because, again, I'm not depending. Even if it's $400, I'm still not going to get it because what I'm really pretty much just getting an upgrade. I want to play like new first party games, you know, for new consoles. So yeah, that's why I'm leaning towards PS5 because we're getting Spider-Man and we're pretty much getting Ratchet and Clank around that window. Unless it doesn't come out day one. If it doesn't come out day one, then I'm honestly, take a step back. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, we're here to celebrate this generation though, but I just do want to say it does not even feel like we're entering a new generation. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, Dan. Barbosa, do you guys feel that same way? Feel like we're entering the ninth generation? Like, it for me, there's no excitement.
It's a different hype back then. You get me? Like last like upgrade to next gen was like, oh my god, dude, this is happening. We're finally gonna get this major upgrade. The thing we have to decide is like whether some people are comfortable where they're at now. You get me? Like with the systems, maybe mm-hmm. they don't think they need upgrade. Like for example, you right. Me and Dan upgraded our systems because they're like, we have to have the best system in the market. But for you, you're like, you know what? I'm sticking with my Xbox One S. Doesn't bother me. The gameplay still play great. And same thing with PS4 for you. I personally believe that the majority of gamers are like you, Pat. I have no doubt about it. I think that the people that do what me and Dan do, which, yes, spend a shit ton of money, and then, you know,
you know, you got the, I mean, you guys like your, you know, your power, you know, Dan has his PC and, you know, when he gets Dan, you know, when he gets his consoles and when you get your console, you guys want the most powerful console. When there's me who I just love playing video games, so I could care less about the power and as long as it works and that's it.
So in the also the thing is the mid tier upgrades, right? I think that kind of shuffled us around a little bit because we got Pro and X out of it. So. I don't think we see systems the way they do anymore. Like, I don't know if it's going to be ever the same anymore. I mean, we know these new systems are going to come out, but I don't think it's going to be like the same, like, oh, crazy, this generational leap, you know?
Watching our younger selves look at these new consoles as they come out every so often, you know, like all the Sega and 64, all that, it's like you get to see these games, and I think since we're a lot younger, we didn't know better between good or bad games. Games were games. They were fun no matter what. Even if they were shit, they were still good. I think that's what our mentality was when we were younger. We just wanted to play that game. Oh, my favorite character from a TV show is in there. You know, I'm going to play that. My favorite cartoon. I'm going to play that. And I think that's where our mentality, that's where we were back then. But now, we're a lot older. We have somewhat more common sense. You know, we think about things a lot better. Yeah. So it's like, oh, man, is Xbox even going to release a good exclusive this year? Is Sony going to drop another Spider-Man 2? You know, these are all things that are going to make us decide, oh, do we really want to get that console or not? What's going to change? What's going to be new? So we think we're putting a lot more thought into it as we get older.
Yeah.
There's also the adulting part, right?
And maybe adult, yeah, you got to pay the rent, you got to pay the bills.
rent, bill.
Right now.
All that other shit. But yeah, you know, back to our PlayStation Now conversation. I think there... could still be some improvements to the service. I think the streaming the games, it actually does run pretty well. I did stream a PS3 game off it, and it ran pretty well. So I think there could be some improvements going forward.
Yeah, I think you can boot it up on your PC and play, right? You can do like the PlayStation stream app and play from your PC.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Xbox is supposed to be doing that feature soon as well, later next year, I believe. But I like that feature. That's a cool feature.
But that's, that's like how we were talking about before. That's the future right there, Not necessarily needing a console to play those games. Yeah. You just need a decent internet for it.
Yeah. What do we think of, also PlayStation got a lot of, developer marketing. Obviously Capcom is back. And of course we know that obviously, yes, Resident Evil is multi-platform, but, Capcom is back. Obviously Street Fighter was exclusive and the Resident Evil games are now heavily marketed more in, like any Sony conference. And obviously when Capcom has a commercial, it's the PlayStation logo. They have the Call of Duty. They have the Call of Duty marketing and everything like that. What do we think about that? With PlayStation getting the jump again, obviously the 360 era, a lot of games were marketed more with 360. Now this generation, it seems like a lot of games are marketing with the, with Sony commercials.
No, definitely. PlayStation really, whoever's related, making the marketing deals and everything, it was very aggressive about it. Like Activision hopped in, they got exclusivity for Final Fantasy VII, which, it's a 1 year, it's going to come out on Xbox One, by the way, or Series X at this point. But they really made a lot of deals, and that they came out strong with that. Like, they were like, hey, we're doing deals with this guy, this person, everybody was part of it. I honestly think that they're not going to stop. I think, it was a good choice because, for example, you look at a Call of Duty poster, right? You see a PS4. For the average consumer that's watching that, they might think that it's only for PS4 and not Xbox, just mm-hmm. because the marketing says PlayStation 4 on it. That's all it takes. It's just to get the perception in. And they've been good with it so far. And there's rumors that they're doing the same exact thing for PS5 now.
Well, yeah, Resident Evil was shown at the Sony conference, so, and then obviously we're going to see it at the Tokyo Game Show, which is big. I remember back then, one of our friends said getting the Call of Duty marketing wasn't that big of a deal, but I mean that really did backfire because it is a big deal. Call of Duty's still a powerhouse as much as yes, it does come out every year, but Call of Duty's still that powerhouse, man. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. It did not hit that Assassin's Creed bug. And did not hit that Battlefield bug. Call of Duty stands tall. So it's not going anywhere. And I mean, it was big for Sony to get Call of Duty's marketing.
I wonder what if Microsoft did not put all that money, all that time into Mixer? Where could they be right now with developers?
Mixer would probably still be around. Maybe. Actually, no, I think if Microsoft did not take over Mixer, I think Mixer would still be around, honestly. I think that was Mixer's biggest downfall.
PlayStation does have good exclusives, and they work well with the developers. I know they must be paying a boatload of money to these developers, but they're doing something right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been really good marketing. For them.
And it seems like they're going to maintain the same formula. I think that's the thing. The other thing that's happening, right? They're strong first party lineup, good relationship with partners for third party companies. And honestly, I honestly don't know if they're going to change on it. I don't think they're going to change until Xbox is like, hey, we shift the movement. We shift the map of where we're playing. But
yeah,
only time will tell at this point.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed. Again, as we talked about it, just the shooters, especially shooters feel definitely an improvement on PlayStation consoles with the controller. Let's talk about PSN. I mean, we didn't really talk too much about PSN. I mean, I brought it up and stuff like that, but again, PSN improved big time, this generation with, comparing it to PS3. Again, as Dan brought up before that, it became a paid service. And PSN, I thought ran really well. compared to its, you know, predecessor where it felt laggy and a mess. PSN ran great this time around. I rarely felt any lag or glitch. You know, obviously both systems could be shaky at times, but I think I felt a little bit more on PlayStation. Like it felt a little bit better online at times.
No, I definitely agree. It's like Dan said, everything was very much simplified. No, not crazy any changes like that. They kept adding party, you know, minor adjustments did, but pretty much the skeleton of the operating system has been the same. Even for the PlayStation Store, they had a couple of changes to improve it for search and mechanisms and everything. I honestly think that, you know, it's that quote, what is it? Less is more, right?
Yeah.
So the more it's simple, the better it is.
Yeah. Let's talk about, there's something I wanted to talk about here. Obviously, PS3 came out with the PlayStation Move. It was a dump. What are our thoughts on the PlayStation VR?
I love it.
I think it's the right step into the future. I think because me and Dan agree on this, right? AR and VR, which coexist, they're different technologies, right? AR is putting a glass and seeing what's in front of you. VR, it puts you inside the world, right? VR is not to say that's going to be the future of gaming, but it's going to coexist with it. And I feel like by PlayStation doing that is like one of the steps, right? They gave it an affordable version of it. So, you know, I mean, the Vive costs like a fortune. And yeah, you need to have a good running PC to run these VR units, right? So with a PS4, you own it already. Well, when it first came out, I was like, Dan, it was like, what, 500, right, PSVR?
Yeah, I think it was 500.
Yeah, because it came with the Move, that came with everything.
Yeah, so I think it's called what would say introduction phase for the consumer.
Yeah.
It's a cool experience, but I'm gonna be honest, I can't last more than like probably an hour or two in a VR headset. Like it's very strenuous, like to your eyes, to everything. But it's a fun experience though.
The VR headset, I think, is gonna. I think for PSN and PC, I'm not just gonna base this towards just PlayStation, but I think it's a great move for PlayStation. You know, I've been asking over and over and over and over for Xbox to get something compatible, like an Oculus or something. But I think it's great, and you know, if people do get motion sickness, I mean, that's understandable. But you know, you got games like Half-Life that came out VR, and it sold so fucking much. They sold out like every VR on the market. I mean, there's really good games out there. You just gotta find your game. But yeah. I think it's a great step to the future.
Yeah, like the last one I played was Iron Man, and I was like pretty impressed by it. It was like, it was crazy, man. Like to use the propulsion jets with the controllers, and you're like equalizing yourself so it's flying. Like it was a learning curve because like, but it was definitely felt awesome when I had like full control of Iron Man and like moving around, jetting around at super speed, and like using the blasters. It's one kind of experience. You get me? Played Resident Evil with it. That one like got me nauseous a little bit because the depth of field, like especially when you're going down the stairs, like oof, that was really intense. But the scares, man.
Yeah,
you can't, like, if you're not paying attention, like even on first person, you kind of have a better grasp, right? You see it a little bit better because it's almost static. But when you're in there and you're kind of like focusing because you're trying to get down and like focus yourself, sometimes you miss what's, you know, the corner of your eye, man. And you're just like, oh, shit. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, the VR, the same thing as you touched on before about you're not able to play it for a certain amount of time. Yeah, I mean, I remember we were at our friend Diego's playing it. Oh, no, I was at your house. I lied. He was there. I thought we were thinking of something. Same thing. I can only play it for like maybe 45 minutes to an hour because it starts really straining my eyes and I started getting a headache. But it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. And we were playing, Festival of Blood Until Dawn, which was pretty fun. And yeah, the VR worked well. And again, it was a stepping stone. It's for, you know, again, it's only, I think it's much cheaper now and you don't have to pay $800 to $1,000 and have a really good PC. And, you know, it's also good for a casual audience as well, I think, that want to, you know, test the waters with VR and stuff like that. So definitely is a good step stepping stone for
PlayStation takes it this next gen. I'm very curious how much of the improvements, you know, like, and Dan agrees with me, like with the SSD applications and all of that, like the boosted graphics, man, I, you know, hopefully the next step is wireless because too many cables.
I'm also really happy they marketed it at a good pace, right? So like when it was at E3, when it was at these events, it wasn't pushed as hard as the PlayStation Move was, because I don't know if you guys remember, like at that point in time, E3s were getting really annoying because all we saw was Kinect games and PlayStation Move games, and it was very frustrating. But this time around, they pushed VR, but it didn't take up the majority of the show. Like, I vividly remember this one Sony E3, and I wanted to take my TV and throw it out when they showed that magic book for PlayStation Move or whatever the hell, the Wonder Book.
Oh, I thought you wanted a Harry Potter game.
No, it was like a Wonder Book, and it would look it up. It was so cringy. It's terrible. But I'm happy the way Sony, it didn't, you know, they focused heavy on more of their games.
It was like basically coexisting with it. Like, you know, it's like, hey, it's available if you want it. Like, that's the gist of it.
But we're gonna jump into the games here. But before we do that, we're just gonna take a quick 30-second for our sponsors. All right, boy, we are back. Thank you again here. And we're about to jump into what made this generation big time for the PlayStation 4, the games. And I just want to touch base here. You know, I know we talked about, obviously, timed exclusives we're not doing, but Sony did a lot of remasters. Are we including those games, guys? I just want to ask before I include them.
Nah, you know what? Let's keep it off. Let's talk about, like, the titles that...
The main ones, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we're not going to talk about remasters. So we're not going to talk about the Uncharted collection, the God of War collection. What was another one? Last of Us. So those games are out. But I am going to include Medieval only, and that's included because that was a PlayStation 1 remaster. A full remake. I'm going to include that one on my list. So that's going to kick off my list. Medieval. If you've never played it on PlayStation 1, it was a really fun game. Felt very similar with the remake, which I loved. So no complaints there. But that would be yours. But go ahead, Barbo. Argonaut, isn't that your... Go ahead, talk about it. Persona 5.
Yeah, definitely. I know it came out dual release on PS3, but Persona 5, you know, I might get attacked here. I don't know, possibly. But Persona 5 for me is the best JRPG of this generation as a whole, without a doubt. I, you know, some people like it, some people don't, but I played Persona 5, put I think 120 hours on that, and then I platinum Persona 5 Royal, which I know it's easier to platinum. I get it. To all the listeners. And that's exactly why I did it. But it was fantastic, man. I really enjoyed it. I put so many hours in the game. It's a good story. It's turn-based, really good RPG elements. The art style was amazing. And it was exclusive to PS4. I mean, I was just like, it's definitely, I can't even like think about any other JRPG that really blew my mind the way Persona 5 did.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been really big in the JRPGs, but I know Persona 5, Persona just in general.
I think we all agree that Rage Quit should try some JRPGs.
Yeah, no. Woo!
I can't get into that, the combat system, I can't really get into that combat system. But let's talk about, obviously, one of the big ones. This was the game that I got the PS4 for, was Infamous Second Son. Phenomenal game. You played as, his name was Desmond, correct, Barbosa? Yeah.
No, yeah. Maybe it was in Desmond. I think it was, let's find out real quick. Sorry. So we're going to Wikipedia real quick. Delson. Yeah, Delson, okay. Yeah.
I knew it began with a D, but Delson, I mean, really like the protagonist. I love the new powers you can get besides, you know, electricity and everything. Like, I like the earth. I mean, it was a really good game, and I did both playthroughs. I did good and I did bad. Really fun game. I've always loved the Infamous series, and obviously Sucker Punch came out with a new
game, man. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, the DLC was kind of bleh, wasn't that great, but you know, the main game was really good. I put I don't go back and play through as many games anymore because obviously with work and everything like that, there's not a lot of time to go back a lot, but I went back and I beasted right through both playthroughs. Really fun game.
No, they definitely, Sucker Punch came, you know, when it was a launch window game, I was like, you know, I was very excited about, like, I love the Infamous series. So when Second Son came out.
Yeah, let's talk about their new IP, Ghost of Tsushima, which I'm playing right now, and wow.
Tsushima's phenomenal.
Yeah, what an experience this game is right now. And I mean, you go from, you know, that IP of Infamous, and you go right into Ghost of Tsushima, which is fantastic. Like, that was a really amazing game. I'm loving every minute of it.
It's interesting that, like, they were able to make such a shift, right? But it was just phenomenal. Like, the way the game plays, everything, the story was really good. I hope one day they bring Infamous back. Just, you know, work between both series. Some, you know, developers do that. I'm excited for Ghost of Tsushima Legends. I'm sure you saw the multiplayer.
Oh, that's, I can't wait. Absolutely.
Some people are calling that like killer seller for PS5 because, you know, technically it's going to come out later this year. So it's going to be with the system too.
And also the co-op stuff too looks cool as well. So it's the co-op 100%. And so that stuff looks really cool.
It's crazy, right, that we think about Sucker Punch like that, right? They came out with Infamous in the beginning of the generation, and then you got, at the end of the generation, Ghost.
Do you see? Do you think we'll see another Sly Cooper?
I hope so. We'll
ever get them? Do you think they did Sly Cooper, correct?
Yes, they did. Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest. I asked them about it before interviews and everything, but, like, you know, they're the one, like, one of those teams from developing teams that you can never really get, you know, what's the next project or anything like that. Like, it's kind of like it will come out of nowhere. So maybe like 2 years from now, they're going to be like, hey, guys, this is our new upcoming project.
And I was a big fan of the Sly Cooper series.
I hope they come back with Sly Cooper, though. That was a really fun series. I really love that game.
It's a great series.
Yeah. I mean, we got, there's I have a long list here, boys, man. There were so many good first party games here. How about God of War? Wow.
It's right here, man. You know, I'm wearing the t-shirt for it to celebrate it right here. Kratos and Atreus.
I mean, you know what? We could say spoilers. I mean, the game's been out for so long right now. Obviously, that ending, and you find out that he's Loki. I mean, that shit was insane. Huh?
He's part of the
Avengers? No, it's
I'm just kidding, man.
Yeah, no, like, it's got, I mean, I love the transition from Greek mythology to Norse mythology. I mean, how about Thor showing up at the end?
Yeah, it's interesting, how they're setting up everything for, you know, like, the way they're setting up the game, like, how it went. Like, I like that we got, you know, Kratos is still the crazy fighter, you know, unbelievable at it, but, you know, he's a tormented soul from all the stuff that happened throughout
game. Yeah, you could tell. I really loved what they did with the Kratos character in this game. You could tell he kind of had like a kind of a PTSD type scenario with, you know, with the dealings from the previous games. But man, I remember in that game, obviously you start out with the axe, but I remember when you finally pick up the swords.
Oh yeah, the Chaos Blades, man. Oh, that was such epic. And the way he went for it, like the emotional impact of finding them again, where he buried them, that was awesome. Like, he's like going through the lake and like seeing these visages. I'm like, the way they made it was awesome. And the world too, right?
The world was great. I mean, everything about it was great. I mean, obviously, I was a little bit skeptical at first because it went from a heavy hack and slash to now it kind of had like that Last of Us feel, like you have an additional character with you, and how the combat was going to change. But man, the combat was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I loved how you had to use the different weapons to open up different doors and things like that. It was amazing. I mean, a lot of people consider that the God of War, they're like that's their this generation. Their best game.
Yeah. And I'm telling this though, I'm not sure if you did them, but like the Valkyries, man, I got my ass handed to me by them.
Yeah, I did a couple, but I mean, Forget it, man. Those fucking Valkyries were miserable. Dan, like, and I know you watched the gameplay. Like, any thoughts? Like, will you be? Because there's going to be another one definitely in the future. Are you looking, if you ever get a PS5, is that a series you're going to jump into?
Wait, what game? God of War?
God of War.
No, probably not. I feel like that it's been out for so long that if I try to get into it now, it's just like, is it even worth it? How many God of Wars are there? Three?
But this one's completely different. This one is, this one's Norse mythology. The other ones were Greek.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, if there's only one that I would have to play, then probably, but if I have to go back and play all of them, I don't think I can.
You
can,
but you don't have to, because they kind of explain what happens. So, like, they give you a general background on who, you know, Kratos was and why he is the way he is now.
Okay. Then it might be worth it, especially if it's going to be on PlayStation now, hopefully.
I don't see why not. I mean, here's one game, actually, that was kind of took me by surprise. Until Dawn.
Oh, it's my favorite PlayStation game. And loved granted, it. My list isn't that long of PlayStation games I played on this gen. So, but that game was great.
I mean, I've always been a big fan of games like that that have more of a cinematic experience. That they do it well. You know, you talk about the Telltale games; they're more of a cinematic experience rather than heavily on gameplay and stuff like that. But I really love, I really loved Until Dawn. Like, it felt like a B horror. It was weird. It went from like a B slasher to like supernatural. Like, yeah. It was a really good game, and I love the experience of the butterfly effect, where if you made this choice, it'll affect the characters later. I also loved if characters died, they will that the story continues on. And obviously, they're coming out with the new games now. Little Hope comes out next month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really loved Until Dawn. I hope they continue making horror games, and I really love that they're going with the horror anthology. And also, Until Dawn had a really good cast. It had Hayden Panettiere. It had, what's his name from Bohemian Rhapsody?
Malek?
Rami Malek, yeah, and he's the villain in the new James Bond. And also had the guy from the Marvel TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which one?
It's a good lineup, man. I'm telling you. He
was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the guy with the dark hair.
You talk about the agent guy, the taller guy, Brett Dalton or something?
I think so, yeah. He was in Until Dawn as well. So that had a really good cast. I mean, phenomenal game.
It's one of my favorite games. I just love the fact of that storytelling. And, you know, you want to try to survive with as many people as you can. And, you know, the replay values of those games, you can play it so many times and get so many different outcomes. I mean, that's what's great about those kind of games.
Yeah, and I mean, also, just also, if you want to, you could just kill everybody. Like, you could just see. Yeah. And I mean, the deaths were cool. I don't know if you guys actually saw, like, the deaths in the game. Like,
that's an achievement to kill everybody.
Yeah, the deaths were really cool. Also, another game cinematic experience that is phenomenal, Detroit Become Human. I mean, again, time to time.
Yeah.
I played one when it came to PC, and I thought it was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, dude, time and time again, what's the developer's name again?
Quantic Dream.
Quantic Dream, man. I mean, it all started with, I forget what game it came in on PS2, but Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls was okay. But man, Detroit and Indigo Prophecy, there we go. Indigo Prophecy, great game as well from Quantic Dream. But man, Detroit Become Human, again, phenomenal. Like, I loved the characters in this one. Like, the characters are really good. I mean, my ending was the robots took over, man.
Jesse Williams, my boy from Grey's Anatomy. Let's go.
I let Jesse Williams take over, and we took over, man. And I also escaped to Canada with the girl. Great game. I think my guy, the guy with the blonde hair, what's his name? I think he died twice for me. Cause Argonaut, you mentioned, I remember when we first started playing, that if he dies multiple times, his morale changes, doesn't it?
There's definitely an effect on it. I forgot. I haven't played it in such a long time, but the most iconic part is like when they do that movement, like, and they like try to do a peaceful walk, and it becomes a war. Do you remember that? That was
iconic.
I started to I started the war, man. It was,
dude, that ending was so good.
Well, what was your ending? I mean, my ending was different. What did you have?
I'm trying to think. I think we escaped on a boat.
Oh, so your ending's different than mine. Your ending's way much different than mine. And that's
yeah, I did the boat thing too. I think, did she survive? Do you remember?
I don't remember if she survived.
Because she gets shot no matter what from that machine, right?
Yeah, she gets shot. I remember she gets shot, but I think she survived though.
What I liked about that game too was the chart. Like at the end of each level, it showed you the chart on what you did, and you could go back and reconnect. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, the replay value. I love those kind of games because the replay value is so strong.
Easily, 100%. The replay value on a lot of those games are really strong, and it's also cool to talk about what endings and what we did and stuff like that. So I'm really excited for Quantum Dream, what they're going to do for PS5. So I'm very excited about that. But
a lot of internal issues right now. PlayStation is no longer like in a good, supposedly not in good terms with them anymore because of all like the sexual allegations and work environment issues. So,
well, I hope I hope everything goes well with that. But I mean, we still got a list of games here.
Well, smell Xbox exclusives, Quantum Dreams.
I'm gonna throw this one out quickly because you guys don't play this game, but. MLB The Show, the definitive baseball game, but now this is its last year being on PlayStation. It's going to be multi-platform going forward, but great baseball game. But let's move on. Uncharted, what a great ending to the Uncharted series. Great way to close out Nathan Drake's story with Uncharted 4. And then pretty much the game that kind of got kickstarted with this whole like side story $40 game, Lost Legacy. Yeah. Lost Legacy was great as well.
I really enjoyed it. Very, like, as you know, some people might disagree with me with Naughty Dog, but Naughty Dog just knows how to kill it in terms of production value, man. There's no other way to go about it. The presentation in their games is just in a whole different level.
I love the level in Uncharted 4 when you're playing Crash Bandicoot. Like, I love that. Like you're playing Crash Bandicoot, and then I think then a couple months later at E3 they announced obviously the remaster of Crash Bandicoot. But I love the introduction of Nathan's brother. I thought that was and it was Troy Baker as well. So I mean, it's always great to have both the voice actors working together. But again, it was a great closure to the Nathan Drake story, and of course, obviously the ending. Everyone's wondering, is his daughter. Are we going to get a game with his daughter taking over? So only time will tell with that. But Ratchet and Clank also, we got another Ratchet and Clank, which was, I believe, based off the movie. Did anyone see the Ratchet and Clank movie?
No,
I don't think it was. I think it wasn't based off the movie. I think it's a remake of the first one.
It was a remake of the first one. Okay, because I thought it was more based on the movie. But, I mean, I haven't seen the movie. I mean, I watched a little bit of it, but I kind of turned it off. I mean, did anyone see the movie at all? Anybody?
No,
Dan?
No. I heard bad things, so I never even touched it.
Oh, is it on?
I played the game. The game was fun.
The game was fun.
Yeah, but I didn't.
But I love the Ratchet and Clank series. It's probably one of my top PlayStation series games.
Yeah, it's an amazing platformer. And then the new one looks really, really good as well. I'm excited to play the new one as well.
Yeah, the Rift something. Yeah.
Yeah. Last one on my list. Do you guys have anything on your list?
No, I think I have the same last one as you.
Oh, Barbosa?
I think the only one we're left to talk really is Spider-Man, man, right?
Oh, I got Horizon Zero Dawn. Does that count?
I got Horizon Zero Dawn on there, yeah. So before we talk about Spider-Man, yes, Horizon Zero Dawn.
I haven't played it on console, but I've been playing it on PC.
Listen,
I'm about 40 hours in, and I fucking love it so much.
Listen, man, Guerrilla Games, they went from Killzone to Horizon Zero Dawn. Unbelievable, like that. Phenomenal. And I love every minute of Horizon Zero Dawn. It is so good.
Came out of nowhere, man. That's the crazy part, right? Like, if you think about it, like, you know, like, we always knew Killzone, you know, it's always a thing, you know, beginning of generation, that's what we got. But then we got Horizon. It's a completely different game. And, man, Aloy and her story...
Dude, that story really brings you in, and I just keep on a plank. I just want like I need to know where the story goes.
Like the way like the world is designed and everything, like the creatures, the robots, how they work and everything, and you're just like mind blown because they keep explaining the story little by little, and you're just like, oh, you're like, I gotta continue this. There's no other way.
Yeah, dude, what a great game, and I get on Steam, so I get all the like the past DLCs. So I'm trying to like bomb through all this, and on top of it, I'm trying to play Marvel. Like, man, it's so hard.
Yeah, I mean, I have to put a little bit more hours into it because right now I'm on Ghost of Tsushima, but obviously it's backwards compatible. So and the second one's not coming out for a little while, so I'll have time to play it. But man, it is. I mean, I love the different robots that you fight, and you have to fight them differently. I mean, it's a really fun game. Yeah. It just goes to show how obviously you look again, Guerrilla Games. We've known them what for Killzone, then they make Horizon Zero Dawn. It's insane. Like a Sucker Punch, we know them for making like Sly Cooper and then Infamous and now Ghost of Tsushima. So you could see like the variety these developing teams have. It's phenomenal. But again, Insomniac, who knew that they could make a Spider-Man game? I mean, I'm sure Argonaut, we've always talked about it with our friend that like an Insomniac. You could talk about that after this, Argonaut. Yeah. You could talk about that game. But wow, man, Insomniac pulled off probably the best Spider-Man game. I mean, obviously, everyone said that Spider-Man 2, that was published by Activision based off the movie. Many people thought that was their favorite Spider-Man game.
I like that game.
I mean, God, man, Spider-Man was. And I love the original villain. The original villain they introduced was, I loved it. Great, like, story why he is a villain. And, I mean, everything about it, man. The combat, the side missions.
Yeah, no, it was a full game. Dude, even the DLC was good. Games kind of tend to be all right with DLC, and the whole three-part DLC was awesome.
Dude, Sinister Six, like, it was. Oh yeah. My God, that's part where like the you're fighting a Sinister Six and freaking Doc Ock comes out of nowhere. I was like, oh my God, I'm like, this is fucking great. I felt like I was in the comics. Like that's what it felt like.
I can confirm
that we got.
Yeah, the Peter Parker, the Mary Jane that we got. I thought they had a great. They were and they broke up. I mean, it was good. I really liked it a lot.
I can confirm that. When I do get my PS5, Spider-Man will probably be one of the first games that I get.
I can't wait
where it takes the story next.
The web slinging was on point. The different suits. I mean, let's talk about that. All the variety of suits and they all have different abilities was fantastic. I mean, I heavily used the Spider Punk though. I was a big fan of the Spider Punk suit.
I think I used the Iron Spider. I used the standard suit because I like tend to play some games with the standard suit and like not really change. I like what it looks with the original one. I used the Iron Spider skill, I think.
I didn't mind the new suit that they came out with, but I changed that shit right away, right when I got a new suit. I didn't mind a new suit. I liked it, but I saw like the Spider Punk, and then I saw they came out with the original Sam Raimi one, and like they came out with some really, really good suits. But Argonaut, you're going to talk about Amazon Delivery Simulator, but yeah, go ahead. Talk about it.
What?
Stranding, man. Look, it's not for everybody, okay? There's not a lot of fighting in it, but the experience of walking around, seeing the environments, and grasping some of the cutscenes, which lasts, half an hour or so.
Oh, duh.
I know. You can laugh. I get it. It's fine.
No, you said Amazon Delivery, and it took me a second to catch on. Oh, duh, Death Stranding.
No, so to be fair, I understand Kojima and even a lot of Japanese developers. You know, they make really long cutscenes. I understand.
I do want to play the game. That game is on the list that I do want to check out.
Man, I heard it's like
I am going to get it on PC.
Yeah. So it's interesting the gameplay, but you know what? It's kind of like he predicted the future, right? Because like the story is about people they're in bunkers because there was this like mass extinction cataclysm. And we had like coronavirus, and like we depend on delivery guys all day long. I mean, I don't know. There's some weird stuff going on here. I mean, this got clear.
How about the game we could have had, PT?
Oh yeah, but then Konami was like,
Yeah, man. But dude, I've never seen a video game that was like just a short demo get so like people love that game, and it's not even a full game. It's just that experience of. PT and we could have got Silent Hill, but instead we get USPS, you know, whatever delivery service.
You know, let that go, right? You got to try it. You know, for the people, the listeners that are listening right now and like it, do not feel bad about it, right? Don't let this guy get to you, all right? He's a hater, all right? I enjoy Death Stranding.
Well,
it was a unique experience.
What kind of combat? Is there combat in this? I have not really watched any videos of Death Stranding.
Yeah. You might like it then, I think.
Well, it is funny because of that game, they did come out with a walking simulator.
I tried to stay away from all spoiler stuff possible because I want to play the game myself. But I never found out what kind of like action, what kind of if there's combat, is there guns, is there fist combat, or
there's all of it. There's stealth a little bit, but like it's not all about the combat. It's more about delivering these packages, going through these different terrains, and going through these areas that they have like the BTs. Yeah, I know.
Delivering those right. PlayStation 5.
The name of the creatures are BTs, by the way. Of Rage Quit. You know what? When it's you know the name of the game is PT. You see there? Do you get me? Like the correlations there? Like Kojima is quite the guy, man. He's different, but I definitely was surprised by the game.
Alrighty. Well, we're gonna have a disagreement on these two because we already did. We're gonna have a disagreement on these two, so we'll just get this one. We'll get the we could all agree on out of the way. The least favorite, my least favorite, and everyone's gonna have a different one, but this one I think we're all on the same page. The Order 1886.
Oh, I played it.
I thought it was okay.
I mean, but what a game that looked like a new. I mean, for me, I was like, oh wow, a new IP, and I beat it in 5 minutes. And most of the boss battles were quick time events, which I was really disappointed. I mean, the base was there. I mean, I like the premise. I love the environment of London and everything like that. But the execution was just the execution was garbage.
I thought it was like you said, the environment, like the story and the premises was really interesting. There was a lot of potential, but I still enjoyed it. It looked, man, when they were first showing it, like you're like, holy crap, this game looks insanely good.
Yeah,
but the mechanics were very limited.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Well, here, let's get on our disagreements here. Let's start off with Days Gone. Now, I just want to say, I don't think it was a bad game. I thought the story was really good. I did like the main character. I just felt that the side missions were just very repetitive. Like, it was just the same fetch quest over and over and over and over again. And I just felt that, you know, it was just, you know, I again, another game I felt had potential. Like I liked the zombies that they introduced in that game. I thought they were really good, but I just felt the execution just kind of, and the bike and stuff like that, the bike health wasn't the greatest. I felt I had to fix it every so often, but you know, I thought the execution just wasn't as good.
I personally enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I mean, I wasn't say it's going to be, I can't say it's amazing, right? Like it's like mind blowing, like top of the notch generation, but, I like that you took off your glasses because I just, you know, made you do it. Quite an interesting feeling. But anyways, it worked well. The motorcycle was interesting. Like it took a while for you to like upgrade it to make it like less like moving. The hordes are present, but they're not excessively present. There were like one or three encounters that I had and I was like, oh shit, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Because I drove into one by accident in the cave during the daytime. I didn't realize they hid in the there in the cave. Yeah. And I drove into a horde in the cave and oh my God, I got torn up.
You get caught inside the middle and you have no way to like break out. You're done. You're dead. There's nothing you can do. And it takes up to like end game that you have like equivalent weapons to destroy the horde properly. Otherwise, you got to be like, you know, take a piece there, take a piece there.
Yeah. There. And here's a controversial one, of course. The Last of Us 2. Obviously, we saw what happened on Metacritic, and Metacritic pretty much changed their entire score system because of what happened. Now users can't review a game pre-release; they have to wait at least a couple of days. You know, I looked at a lot of those reviews after I beat the game on Metacritic. A good majority of them, yes, I do not believe played the game. But I do believe there were some people that did play it. But I do, of course, I do believe most of the people read the spoilers and unfortunately, you know, caused a lot of backlash. But I played it. Gameplay, top notch. Love the gameplay. Gameplay was great. Graphics, amazing. You know, I didn't run into my PlayStation sound like a vacuum, but the graphics were fantastic. I even did love this scene with Ellie and Dina and that sequence when you're, you know, kind of in that linear open world around that little city. I love that. I thought that was great. I wish they did more of that in the game, but not going to throw too many spoilers. Actually, we've already spoiled everything, so what the fuck matters? I thought they made Joel look stupid. If they were going to kill him, I thought they could have done it better than making him look like an idiot. And the way he got killed was horrific. And then they made me want to understand why the new character introduced, what the fuck is her name again? Allie?
Yeah.
Allie? I mean, they introduced...
Sorry, it's Abby.
Abby? They introduced this new character, Abby. They're trying to get me to... And what doesn't make sense to me is I'm Ellie and I'm killing off all her friends. And then it just stops. And it flashes back to Abby's point of view, and I'm supposed to understand her point of view. And I think my mind would have been different if she didn't horrifically bash the shit out of Joel's head for God knows how long. And I also felt at the – and then so, okay, whatever, you know, whatever. I loved her gameplay, though. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've talked to you about this before. I loved her gameplay. Her gameplay was great. I wish Ellie got, you know, a little bit better gameplay. But Abby's gameplay was great, phenomenal. Like, her weapons were great. But I just felt, and then at the end, just lets her go. I felt maybe we should have just made the choice. I think that would have been better of an ending, that we either could kill her or just let her go. I think that would have been much better. But, you know, again, I don't think it's a bad game. I was just very disappointed. I just did not connect with the characters as I did in the first game. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't angry that Joel died. I knew he was probably going to die, but I did not like the way he died, and I did not like the way he was written in this game.
For me, it's a completely the opposite impression. Look, it's not the game I expected that I was going to get, but it definitely created a massive impact on me, like in terms of like feeling angry, sad. It like no other game made me feel the way that Last of Us did. In terms of like the events, sequence of events and everything, because
Did you talk about the first game or the second one?
The second game, yeah. Okay. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
So the reason is, like, you know, you lose Joe and you're like so angry, but you're so angry at why it happened. Like, you know, she took the one thing that Ellie mattered to Ellie, and you don't know how to deal with it, and you know, you go after the group and everything. But like, as it's progressing with Ellie, you're like, shit, you know, it's vengeance for sure. But like, man, you know, this path is really taking a toll on her. Like, you start seeing, like, you know, her relationship with Dina kind of depreciates. You know, there was one part that, you know, Tommy was in danger and she was kind of like, no, we need to go after Abby. That's what matters. I'm like, dude, like, you know, if you're going to, what they were trying to convey on that, on those things was like, you know, vengeance can take you so far, and then all that hatred can take you so far. And then where does it lead you to become less human? So, playing as Abby, it showed what happened to her. So you're kind of like, you know, seeing through her side what happened. You're still pissed at her. It's nearly impossible to be not pissed at her taking such a memorable character like Joe out of her hands. But you start seeing it. And, what I can say is the part that really got to me was the very end where, like, Ellie was trying to choke out, like, Abby. And, like, she has that, like, memory about Joe, like, that one last good memory of him. And, like, I'm sure that people that, like, been angry or had, you know, issues or, you know, loss and everything, it affects you, right? Like, you, maybe a bad memory of a person that you lost is taking, you know, control of your anger, and your anger is just building up, piling up, piling up, piling up. And then that one memory just stalls everything. And that's where she let go. So I felt like I was feeling what Ellie was feeling when that was happening. Like that, and like, you know, I talked to a couple of friends. I was like, shit, man. I'm like, I never felt this way about any other game. Like the, it just gave you a full circle of perspectives. So, I mean, I know you didn't like it, but like it, no game made me feel as in depth the way Last of Us 2 did. And that's why I like it. It's not the game. It's like I said before, it's not the game I expected, but it's definitely the game. It's a game that really impacted me.
I just think it's definitely one of those games that, you're either going to like it or you're not going to like it. So I think that's what it really truthfully comes down to. But, any games you want to add that, least favorite that you guys have or anything like that?
Not really. I don't, there's a couple titles there. I mean, you forgot Knack, man. What's going on here?
I didn't play it. Remember, I'm only including games I've played. If you want to include Knack because you played it, you can include Knack.
Yeah, I'll put it on the okay pile. Less than okay, probably.
If people are wondering why I didn't include Yakuza, it's because Yakuza is no more exclusive anymore. So that's why I did not include Yakuza. But this is pretty much going to close out our PlayStation 4 eighth generation review here. Guys, I will go ahead and I'll say, you know, again, as Barbossa said at the top, PlayStation definitely won this generation. First party titles, top notch. There was barely any bad ones that I could say. I mean, like I said, A Day's Gone, Last of Us, these weren't bad games. It's just that I was very disappointed with the story. Order 1886, I think it was a bad game. I mean, I did not really enjoy that game at all. But man, I mean, you know, again, I'm already PS5 already has some good exclusives already coming out. Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank, that new one, and the new Horizon Zero Dawn. So, I mean, the future's bright right now with PlayStation. Again, I do not like the look of the PS5, the fucking router. But as of right now, I'm getting a PS5 at launch. But definitely a big, big rebound for Sony after the PS3 mishaps. Sony returned to form. And it was a great generation for them. I loved every minute of their first-party games. And, you know, here's to, you know, again, Sony returned with a vengeance after PS3. So, but you know, one thing we didn't really talk about, which I'll say really quickly, is RIP PSP, because we didn't really talk about it. We really didn't bring that up at all today. But I'll say it really quickly: rest in peace PS3, especially PSP, especially the Vita. The Vita had a lot of potential, but lack of support, unfortunately. So,
get that trash out of here.
You guys?
No, I just think I'm looking forward to what PlayStation's going to do next. It's interesting the route they're taking with their system. I want to know pricing. I don't know when the pre-orders go live. I'm sure as many of us do. I am very curious to how their messaging is going to be, how they're going to build up on their brand continuously. I'm interested if they're going to do anything with PlayStation now. It's, you know, they have a strong lineup, and they had a strong, like, you know, dishing out a lot of good games. Now I want to see to continue doing that. And really, like I said, with Xbox, only time will tell. And I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward for next gen, especially since both of them have SSDs. And I am tired of waiting for loading times like that. I'm sure Dan agrees with me.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part,
I mean, you're a PC guy, so for you, it's non-existent.
Well, if you think about it this way, alright, who's the real winner here, alright? PC. PlayStation games are starting to go on the PC now, so, but we're probably gonna find out the pre-orders are gonna start the day before the console releases at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see how the PlayStation 5 is. I mean, PlayStation 4 obviously had a great year with some great exclusives and good games. So I'll be picking up the 5 on launch and probably be playing some PlayStation 4 games to catch up on some of them.
Alrighty, guys. This is episode 58. This was our PlayStation rundown of this generation. Thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, you can listen to this episode on Spotify, Google, iTunes, all the fun stuff. But of course, if you go to our website, innermoundsbasement.com, you could listen to the podcast right there. And as, of course, as Dan said, we are doing a giveaway for our audio listeners. If you just go to innermoundsbasement.com/giveaway, you guys can enter in the giveaway. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
You've just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a video game podcast with your hosts, Dan Giofoy and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.